President-elect Donald Trump's pick to head the Environmental Protection Agency has worried some environmentalists who say Scott Pruitt will roll back many of the policies put in place to deal with climate change. We have a couple of perspectives on climate change today, starting with Guy McPherson. He's a conservation biologist and professor emeritus at the University of Arizona. He left what he calls active service at the university in 2009. And Guy, you have a pretty dire view of our future as a species on this planet, is that right?
Yes, I do. I've been focusing my work on abrupt climate change, a phenomenon with precedents in Earth's history, although not within the human span of existence on this planet. So I've been focusing on abrupt climate change for the last several years.
What do you mean when you say abrupt climate change?
Unlike the Al Gore inconvenient truth, linear change in climate, to which we've largely become accustomed, the planet has experienced very rapid increases in global average temperature within a short period of time. Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences from a few years ago has a paper based on sediment records indicating a 5 degrees Celsius global average temperature rise in a span of 13 years. Well, we're emitting carbon into the atmosphere at a faster rate than has ever been recorded in planetary history, and so we could actually produce a change in climate even more rapid than that, to a higher level in a shorter period of time.
It sounds like what you're suggesting is that everything that we've been hearing about climate change is true, except it's just happening at a much faster pace than what we've been led to believe.
Yes. After I spoke on the west coast of the United States a year or so ago, one of my hosts started a website called fasterthanexpected.com, because that's something we read almost daily in the mainstream media these days, is that climate change or some aspect of climate change is occurring, quote, faster than expected.
Why is it, do you think, that this is not sort of the accepted conventional wisdom that we hear about when we hear about climate change and what impacts it might have?
I think there's a few things going on here. First of all, nobody wants to hear this news, because even this slow rate of change in the planet's climate so far is outstripping the ability of our organism, our species, and many other organisms to adapt. So that spells utter disaster for a species that depends upon many other species for survival. In addition, the notion of abrupt climate change moves us beyond the arena of we can fix this by making relatively minor changes in our lives. So if we can't fix it through squirrely light bulbs and hybrid cars, then what? Well, then we're talking about something completely new and different, and we're a fix-it culture. And in addition, the people receiving paychecks based on their work are not particularly inclined to connect the dots. And there's no money, trust me, there's no money in extinction.
When you talk about extinction, based on what I've read of your writing, you think that humans will be extinct in not that many years from now.
Yeah, again, because of this abrupt change in climate, specifically planetary warming. It's the warming events in previous mass extinction on the planet that have caused the most rapid extinctions and most thorough extinctions in the shortest period of time. So compare what we're doing now to the Great Dying from 252.2 million years ago. We're heating the planet far faster than was heated that time, at least in order of magnitude faster, and more than 90% of the species on the planet went extinct. So we were left with very, very little complex life, very little multicellular life on the planet. And for a species that depends upon thousands of others for our own survival, that doesn't bode well.
How long do you think that humans have left?
You know, I'm reluctant to put a date on this sort of thing. I connect other people's dots, and that leads me to believe that we don't have long. But every time I put a date on it, people say, oh, if you're saying by 2030, then it's all going to be business as usual until midnight on December 31st, 2029, and then everybody on the planet is going to die in their sleep. That's not what I'm suggesting at all. I'm suggesting that in light of this information, we should live fully and with urgency, no matter how long we have left.
If it's not an easy fix that people can do to try to do something about this, is there anything that we as humans can do to try to reverse it or slow it?
I don't think there are any societal solutions here. Climate change is a predicament. It's not a problem.
Guy McPherson is a conservation biologist and professor emeritus at the University of Arizona. He left what he calls active service at the university in 2009. McPherson's positions do not, as he points out in his talks and writings, necessarily agree with the conventional wisdom among scientists who study climate change, who generally say there is still time to slow down the planet's warming. Jesse Antela Hughes is in that camp. He's an economics professor at the University of San Francisco, although he has a background in the sciences. And Jesse, from your perspective, how much do we know about the near-term future of our climate?
The way that I always like to tell people about this is that the climate is an inherently uncertain thing. It's kind of like predicting what world politics does or is going to do, or predicting what the stock market will do. And so there's fundamental things that we know are going on from a very basic level, like we increase more carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide absorbs infrared radiation. It makes things warmer. And so in the near term, we're certain that with how much carbon dioxide we've emitted, we are going to have more and more warming. The thing is, it's an average process over time. And so we get a lot more variability at the same time. The thing I always like to explain is that it's fundamentally like a statistical kind of problem. You're like, yeah, if I release a whole bunch of a certain disease or something like that into a population, can I predict if a certain person will get sick in a certain way or not? Not necessarily, but I know there's going to be more sickness overall.
You were co-author on a paper called The Science of Climate Change, and one of the things that was particularly interesting about this paper was you look at what types of different climate scenarios kids born in the year 2080 might face as they're growing up. I'm wondering if you can sort of go through some of those possibilities, because we're talking about people down the road a good amount of time now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the first thing that I'd say is that comes from the American Climate Prospectus, which was funded by a bunch of different business leaders who were curious about this exact question. And I think, you know, one of the best ways of thinking about the climate problem is that at this point, with the amount of carbon dioxide that we've released, there is going to definitely be some change in the climate. And it's going to continue, like we've seen some degree of change that we can definitely attribute to humans or near definitely. And just from everything we understand about the system, then the question becomes something along the lines of, if a kid is born in 2080 and we've really tried our best to reduce carbon dioxide emissions and we've really tried our best to get things under control, we can imagine that that kid's life is going to be like ours, a little bit different though, right? In the sense that, you know, climates that we would normally associate with a place like, say, San Diego are going to be more like the climate of places like San Francisco. And the thing that I think is important to understand is that this is the good scenario, right? Because at the rate at which we're emitting carbon dioxide, there is a very realistic bad case scenario where we've done far too much heating. And then there are these big feedbacks in the climate that we know about, things like, you know, melting of the Arctic ice that actually make the warming effect worse. And so we can kind of think about this as, you know, if we do things right as a planet and as a country and we really deal with this like the large scale pollution problem that it is, then we have a world where things have changed a bit, but hopefully they have not changed so fast that we can't adapt and we can't find a way of making it work. But the counterfactual kid born in 2080 in a world where we just continue down the current path that we've been on with carbon emissions is really one where, you know, that kid's livelihood is very threatened. And so to try and predict what the world would look like for someone in 2080, part of it is to say, well, you know, New York City could have a climate that looks a lot more like the climate of Savannah, Georgia, or Washington, D.C., where you're really starting to get into crazy territory. And in particular, you start worrying about places like, say, in the Middle East becoming almost utterly uninhabitable.
Do you think at this point that humans can do enough to either reverse the effects or at least keep the effects of climate change from getting to a point where parts of the world are uninhabitable or perhaps the entire Earth is uninhabitable?
Absolutely. I think there's still a huge amount that can be done. And I think the thing in particular to keep in mind is that at this point, it's not an insurmountable problem. It's more of an organizational problem. I definitely think we can do a huge amount to avoid actual large-scale catastrophe. The thing is, it needs this sort of broad-based support where people wrestle with the core set of problems and understand that, yeah, it's a real set of problems. This problem over the course of my lifetime has gone from being a moderately bad problem to a very worrying problem. And I think if there's anything that I would try and get out to the broader public about what it's like on the inside of this field, it's very legitimately scary. There's a level of urgency to this problem that gets worse and worse every year. That's probably the best way of putting it. We have not turned a corner on this problem. And so if there's one thing that I get out, it's that this is an urgent problem for anyone who cares about their children in the future, in a quite literal way.
Jesse Antela-Hughes is an economics professor at the University of San Francisco.